The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Nine a.m. everyone. Peter Boyle's in for Jeff and Billy, and Jeff's going to join us here in a moment. 710 KNUS, Denver's talk station. April 4th. It is a Thursday morning. Beautiful weather. 73, 74 on Friday. Without further ado, Blake Olson's in the newsroom, and we'll come back with Jeff Hunt. It is all yours, my boy.
All right, Pete. Thank you. Good morning. 50 and sunny in Denver. Expecting highs in the mid-70s today. The 710 five-day forecast is coming up. Our top story, severe weather in the South and Ohio Valley has been blamed for at least three deaths. Two people killed by falling trees in Pennsylvania. Denver Mayor Mike Johnston trying to reduce gun violence in the city. His goal is to reduce gun violence in Denver by 20% this year. He says he'll do it by working with people in the most vulnerable neighborhoods. No gun zones haven't worked, but Colorado pushing the sensitive spaces bill, which passed the Colorado Senate, but has been amended. Senator Sonia Jaquez Lewis.
We aligned the bill with the Supreme Court rulings of Bruin and Heller. And so now the five sensitive spaces are legislative assemblies, polling centers, schools, government buildings.
Parks and churches would not be included. Colorado Parks and Wildlife confirming that one of the wolves reintroduced into the state from Oregon has killed a calf in Grand County. This is what ranchers were concerned about. CPW says the rancher will be eligible for compensation for the loss of the calf. Middle Park Stock Growers President Tim Richard.
Wolves went through and next morning there was a dead calf laying there. Just a matter of time before it was going to happen.
The Biden administration says they have no plans to change policy toward Israel after seven humanitarian aid workers were killed. The president expects a swift and thorough investigation. Biden holds a call with Prime Minister Netanyahu today. First Lady Jill Biden on TV on Wednesday working it.
So when these polls like the Wall Street Journal one land in the White House and he's losing in all the battleground states.
No, he's not losing in all the battleground states. He's coming up and he's even or doing better. So You know what? Once people start to focus in and they see their two choices, It's obvious that Joe will win this election.
How about new?
All right, severe turbulence on a Southwest flight that was diverted to Tampa Wednesday left two people injured. It is under investigation. 47 in North Glen, 48 in Littleton, 50 in Denver. Opening day tomorrow for the Rockies. They are 1-6. The Cubs swept the Rockies after a 9-8 final last night. The Nuggets going for three straight tonight at the Clippers and the Avalanche in the Wild this evening in Minnesota. Peter is in for Jeff and Billy. The legend continues. Blake Olson, News Talk 710 KNUS.
Morning, everybody. Of course, Peter Boyles. I got Jeff on hold Thursday, April 4, 2024. You heard the weather. Beautiful couple of days. Let me do this. In flipping the script, you say, long-time caller, first-time listener. Ladies and gentlemen, the man whose seat I sit in, Jeff Hunt. Jeffrey, good morning.
Good morning, Pete. Great to be with you. You're doing a fantastic job. I was listening to you as I drove the kids in. Great conversation.
What do you make of that? I mean, what do you make of this what would happen if Donald Trump goes to prison and, in fact, gets convicted but wins the 2024? What do you think would happen?
Well, I think he's got to be the president at that point, and we'll have to work it through with the U.S. Supreme Court. But it's the combination of everything that gets the conservatives angry, right? So, all right, did Donald Trump do something warranting being prosecuted? Well, that's possible, but you have a whole series of utilizing every effort they possibly could come up. I'm talking about the impeachment proceedings while he was in office to try to disrupt his presidency, to go after him that way. You have people like Jenna Griswold trying to keep him off the ballot with a 9-0 U.S. Supreme Court smackdown. Then you have 88 indictments. You have this whole effort, and then the ballot harvesting that takes place in some of these states, and it feels like it's not fair. And I think that's the biggest critique that conservatives have in all of this is if Donald Trump did something warranted to being prosecuted, well, that's one thing. But if the whole system is unfair and is driven towards attacking this one guy, then that's not right. And so if this all comes down, if he ends up in prison and is elected president, I think it'll be something for the U.S. Supreme Court to work through.
Oh, yeah.
But my goodness, it's constant. It's unrelenting. I saw today that Jenna Griswold is going to push for a law that if you have alternative electors, you're going to be breaking a law now by even just proposing that. So it just feels at the end of the day that it's not fair.
But that was attempted. The alternative board or the alternative slate was attempted in many, many states. I mean, that's legitimate to fear. But Jenna Griswold is always an interesting player in all this. But well, I read that story. I saw that story. But they legitimately tried to substitute the duly elected. Indeed, if Donald Trump's convicted, goes, but wins the 2024, and that really is a constitutional crisis. It really is.
Yep.
I don't know.
It'll be a big deal because conservatives will clearly, and I think rightly, want him out of prison. He's a duly elected president by the people of the United States. I think there's some protections there for the executive branch and its leadership. But the left at the same time is going to go, look, we tried the guy.
Yeah.
He was convicted by a jury of his peers, and he deserves to deal with the consequences of his actions. It's going to be something I don't think this country's ever seen before.
Well, no, they haven't. And we talked about Nixon as the only other one. But the Supreme Court on the 25th, I believe, of this month is going to begin arguing, if you would, on is he completely shielded, which is his position, that he's shielded from criminal prosecution over anything that was carried out while he was in the White House or afterward. And that's the highest court, and they're going to begin hearing on 25 of April. And
it doesn't seem right. I think most people would look at that and go, you don't have complete immunity to be able to do everything that you want to be able to do with no type of legal consequence. But at the same time, Pete, people want to go, you can't just use the legal system to punish your political opponents and saddle them with a whole bunch of lawsuits and indictments. That's not fair either.
But Donald Trump is bringing, or his attorneys are bringing this, arguing that he should be shielded. And Richard Nixon claimed executive privilege, and that they pierced that wall completely. So, boy, I mean, as an amateur history reader, this is a really interesting moment. And thank you for letting me come in and do this morning. And you and Billy, Billy's going to be here, I understand, on Saturday. You're going to Pueblo.
Right.
Yeah. Talk about it.
That's right. We're going to go hang out with the Republicans down at their state convention. Now, it's going to be an interesting state convention. There's no big statewide races this year. So previously at these big state conventions, you'd have people vying to be the Republican nominee for governor, Republican nominee for Senate, and all their campaigns would be there and all their endorsers up on stage. You'd have all this energy and excitement. I've worked for a few of those guys in the past. I was one time trying to help Mike Kopp, if you remember.
Oh,
Mike
yeah,
Kopp was
sure,
running for governor.
Of course.
He won that assembly. And that was the very first time. This is kind of a funny story, Pete. This is the very first time we ever implemented text messaging. So nobody else had done this. This was 2014. This is how much can change in 10 years. 10 years ago, they weren't using text messaging for political campaigns. Well, we got the cell phone list of all the delegates that were going to be in there. We found a system that would allow us to broadcast out a text message to everybody there. And what we found is that when we did that, everybody's heads would go down and look at their phones. They weren't used to getting cell phone text messages from candidates like we are today. So then we figured, well, let's just do that the entire time while everybody else is speaking. All of Mike Kopp's opponents are speaking. Let's just keep text messaging so they aren't paying attention to any other speeches. So we disrupted, I think, and Mike ended up winning that state convention. But they'll have the state convention this year. Some of the more watched races is who's going to be national committee man, who's going to be national committee woman. Down from the state, there's a kind of a competitive race between Vera Oregon and Laurel Eimer for that race. But other than that, it's a time for Republicans to get together. And look, KNUS, we're not on one side or the other. We like to be involved where the news is taking place, and Republicans are gathering in Pueblo. So we're going to be down there and connecting with the community's leaders. So we'll be hosting them. You can listen to them. They'll be coming by the booth and being interviewed. So make sure you tune into what would traditionally be Peter Boyle's show, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. this Saturday. We'll be down at the Republican State Convention.
Jeff Hunt and Peter Boyle's. Jeff, Billy's going to anchor here at 7:10, and Jeff's going on the road to the convention. What you mentioned, you know, if you go back and read about Obama and John McCain, the Republicans had no clue how the internet worked, and Obama did. He had those young techies, and it overwhelmingly helped him. It's. I mean, everything is repetitive one way or another, isn't it? When you think back,
well, you got to be innovative. Go back to Kennedy and television, right? Nixon's caught there, kind of unshaven, thinking that he can just kind of get through this like he would a radio interview, and Kennedy took advantage of it. Look, it's all about connecting with people. This is, you and I were talking in the studio about it yesterday. We're in the age of self-broadcasting as well. So if you're going to be a radio personality, you need to be on YouTube as well. You got to be on Twitter. You got to be connecting with people individually. And that matters as well for a candidate. You can't just rely on emails anymore. You can't just get a website up. It's got to be that daily access, that daily connection. And we know that Joe Biden is not posting on TikTok. We know that it's other people that are there, but the smart people around them are utilizing it.
And if you go back to Kennedy Nixon, it's a really interesting study. The people who listened to the debate on the radio believed Nixon won. The people who watched it on television, and Jack had been, I can't remember the family estate in Florida, but he'd been down there. He was tan. Nixon had... I think his knee was hurt, and he was borderline with the flu, and he needed to shave like seven times a day anyhow, and he had that you know, beard growing. No, I mean, truly. But if you listen to it, the listener said, Nixon won. If you watched it, they said, and I'm trying to remember the actor. I think it was Robert Montgomery that taught Dwight Eisenhower how to use television, because Ike – that was a new one for Ike, too. And I think it was Robert Montgomery said, let me show you how to do TV. And no, you're absolutely right. I mean, and so now it's all.
Yeah, right. The technology has to be utilized by successful political candidates, but it's all about that personal connection. You have more media consumption than at any point in world history right now. But Peter, think about this. I have a brilliant young boy. He's 14 years old. He tests a whole year ahead in math, and great smart kid. The other day we're driving, and on the radio they said the Republican debate on NBC.
Yeah.
And he turns to me and he goes, Dad, what's NBC?
Yeah, I heard you tell that story on the air. Sure.
These kids have no connection whatsoever to legacy media. They all want to be YouTube stars. They all connect because everybody has that in their pocket. So it'll be interesting. Donald Trump does that pretty well. He does the direct access tweets or Truth Social posts. People want to see what he thinks. Joe Biden is a lot more filtered, which I think it doesn't bode well. But he's also not bright enough anymore to be able to manage this on his own. So it's going to run through a bunch of filters. So I think that that direct connection that Donald Trump has with people, it works out in his benefit.
One of the must-watch events that I think are in the future is a debate between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. Then it becomes professional wrestling, but I would imagine, I agree with you about Joe, but can you imagine having Joe come out and Trump is powered up like he's done a couple of times in the past? Oof, that won't be pretty.
But it's so unique, and you know this about wrestling. I'm not nearly the expert, Peter, that you are on wrestling here, but Joe Biden has a form of kryptonite that Donald Trump has not figured out how to react to, which is he just lets the insult go right by him.
Sure.
So if you watch all the Republican debates, you know, Little Hand Marco or Lion Ted, they all direct, they engage it directly. And they're, no, this is wrong. And they want to fight back against the bully and all that stuff. And then Joe Biden, during the last debate, it just went right by him.
Oh.
Partially, I think mostly, because he's just not there.
Yeah.
So Donald Trump hasn't figured out how to deal with a guy that won't react to his insults because he's not present on the stage. His mind's somewhere else thinking about vanilla ice cream or something.
No, whatever he's doing. But, you know, go back. Donald Trump's been that rough and tumble, giving people names, you know, way prior to his entry into the political world. So he gives everybody, like, what he did to Marco Rubio, and he just hammered these people, and at that time people really liked it. I don't know. I mean, well, they call him Slow Joe behind his back. So everything you say is well taken. It's so if you look at all of this, but can you imagine a debate where you know they have to come out? I mean, I think
I think Joe Biden ignores all of them and doesn't do a single debate with Donald.
Well, that was one of my predictions, that they just keep him in the basement, that they'll make some kind of an excuse about Donald Trump being a barbarian or something, and they don't want to deal with him. But
the excuse will be that Donald Trump didn't debate in the Republican primaries. Look, he said that this is a criticism I do have of President Trump on this. He didn't engage in the debate process. He felt he didn't need to. And that's going to give Joe Biden all the green light to be able to go, I don't need to engage in this either.
But I remember I was in Sturgis, actually, and I saw that first debate. And what won me over was when, well, whoever the moderator was said, well, no matter who becomes the nominee, will you all, show of hands or something, would you all support that nominee? And everybody put their hand up at Donald Trump. And I thought, well, good for you, because there were some real interesting people on the dais, and Trump did not put his hand up. And at that point, I'm going, wow, you know, what an honest thing to say. Yeah. And so I don't know. So final question, what happens if Donald Trump goes to prison one way or the other, wins or doesn't win? I mean,
I think the Supreme Court will err on the side of the people of the United States duly electing somebody. So he may end up in prison because of a decision made in one courtroom, or granted, it's a jury of his peers. I understand it went through the process. It doesn't, in my mind, make it fair, but they're going to lean and give deferential preference to the people of the United States electing this person. And he'll be out of prison.
And I think the giveaway will be, the canary in the coal mine will be, what the court does beginning on the 25th about whether or not Donald Trump, and it's his lawyers bringing the case, where he should be completely shielded. This thing is so complex, and I've It's been a week. I was going to do this Saturday morning, but it's so complex, and I'm glad that you guys are allowing me to do this. But, boy, the responses have really been interesting on this one. So,
Pete, this is one of the most unique political elections because you're almost going to – it's like court TV.
Yes.
It's not a traditional political election.
No.
You're going to have lawyers dissecting what each one of these procedures means. This is like something we've never seen before.
Well, you know, you can look at OJ or something like that and say everybody – no, seriously. But April the 15th, Stormy Daniels – that one begins. That's the first one out of the box, and that will be sensational, to say the least, the kinds of charges that are going to be made. I don't know. So what do you guys got on the burner tomorrow morning?
Well, we're going to be hosting the newly elected or the newly designated Republican nominee for CD6. He's a former member of ICE. We'll be joining us in studio during the 7 o'clock hour, or sorry, 9 o'clock hour. Okay. He actually teaches jiu-jitsu.
I know him, actually. I know who he is, and he's a good guy. So, wow, good stuff.
Yeah, he'll be joining us, and his name's John Fabricator. John Fabricator. Fabricatori. Thank you. I'm just getting to know him. I've never actually met him in person. He's going to swing by the studio 9 o'clock hour. He'll be joining us. Look, Republicans won't go on KNUS or on Channel 9 anymore. We're open to everybody. We'll take Republicans, Democrats, and then we record these interviews and we put them up on YouTube so you can actually watch these discussions with these candidates. It's not the gotcha questions. It's not mean-spirited politics like you see on some of the other stations. This is an honest dialogue on how they're going to lead our communities. We have all of those on the 710 KNUS YouTube channel, and John will be joining us at the 9 o'clock hour tomorrow.
And go get him on Saturday, and thanks. You be safe. You guys are doing a great job. Jeff and Billy tomorrow morning at 6 here on 710 KNUS, and they got Saturday as well. Take care, brother. Thanks for doing it, man. Thank you.
Hey, Peter, all of us young guys, we learn from you. You're the grand poobah. We love you, brother.
Thank you. All right, everyone. We have, 303-696-1971. Kelly, we're 22 after. Do we want to go ahead or take a break? Folks on the phones, hang on. I got a whole wall to read. 73 will be the high, 74 on Friday. So Jeff and Billy back here tomorrow morning. And then oldest guy in America to ever go on spring break, and Jeff and Billy on Saturday as well. Kelly Michaels has the con, 710 KNUS. Here we go, everybody. Thursday morning, Jeff and Bill back tomorrow and Saturday morning, April the 4th. With 73 for the high and 74 on Friday, the issue is Donald Trump. Let's go to the phones. Here we go. Lines are open at 303-696-1971. Jay, you're on the show.
Hey, good morning, Peter. How are you?
Hey, man, I'm good.
It's interesting. Interesting calls. You know, the one thing I just want to circle back to, Letitia James and Alvin Bragg from New York and Fannie Wills. They all booked in, went to the White House and met with White House counsel before they pulled these, you know, phony claims against Trump. And that's public record, including Fannie's boyfriend, the one who is no longer involved. So we kind of know what's going on there. And I don't believe any of the things they're doing. But when I will believe it is when I start hearing and I see the full report released on John F. Kennedy, what happened to him. And I want to see the pedophile Jeffrey Epstein's flight logs and all the people that went to his island. Well, we don't have any of that.
With respect, you stay on the topic. I mean, I agree that there are so many mysteries and unsolved issues. Jack Kennedy's one of the great lessons. Nixon as well. But Donald, this is a standalone. Let's take this by itself. What would happen or could happen
if he's elected and goes to jail?
And or either way, he goes to jail, regardless, and two, he's convicted, but he goes and he wins the 2024.
I don't think any of the false charges against him will.
I understand, but what I understand all that.
If it does happen,
I'm trying. Yeah, now if it does happen.
Well, I think at that point in time, a decision hopefully will be made by the Supreme Court to release him and let him do his job that he was elected to do.
So the Supreme Court would give him the immunity because he's seeking immunity. We've talked about it. We just talked about it with Jeff. On the 25th of this month, they go before the court, and he is requesting that he could be shielded from any and all criminal prosecutions over any actions that he carried out. And that will begin in what's today? That'll begin in 21 days. Stormy Daniels begins in 11 days. So how will that help or hurt?
Well, I think it's going to hurt. Secondly, what did he do with Stormy Daniels that's criminal?
Well, the idea of the Stormy Daniels case that I've read is that they used contributions, misused them, and paid her. And then the other story is, and again, what you say is true. I witnessed and lived through Denver Players and Denver Sugar. And I see it through those eyes. I was talking to somebody about it last night. I don't doubt that Donald Trump had sex with her. I don't doubt that. But it's the same thing that happened here. And if you don't think for a second that that was not a covered-up story, and how I think it shook down was it wasn't about this young city councilman, Michael Hancock, who we exposed on the radio show, but it was about all the other clients, customers.
Right.
And they had a lot of power, and phones started to ring. And, what's the old story that small town in Kansas, there's one lawyer living there, he goes broke. Another lawyer moves in, they both get rich. same thing. And, I mean, truly, I'm trying to, write some of this stuff about what did happen with Players and Sugar. And that was an enormous cover-up. And I don't know if payoffs took place. I knew the guy who ran it, and I'd almost guarantee that he didn't take any money under the table, but he had made a lot of money.
Oh, sure. I remember hearing you cover that extensively, and I think there was a gotcha moment when he was on the air, and he basically exposed more than he thought he needed to.
Yeah.
And I don't recall the exact details, but I do know that at that time there was an incestuous group of people that were involved with that sort of thing. Wasn't that off of York Street?
He had four locations to serve you. Lincoln, Lincoln and Ellsworth, which was his headquarters, the ballpark lofts downtown, and then there was one by City Park. And the cops, and the cops had actually put a camera up. And I tell you, I guess I can tell the story, but I went to an event years later, and he looks dead like his dad's Chris Romer. And when we were doing that story, and remember that was a mail-in ballot, and we, Sheik and I, we did that story on a Wednesday. And so, but the voting had already taken place. And so Chris Romer, I come down the elevator and at the old Clear Channel building that's now the iHeart building. And there's Chris Romer. I'd never met him before, but he looked dead like his dad. And, his father and I were not close personal friends. But I said, hey, man. And I said, I remember saying to him, don't throw away your yard signs, because we had broken that story. And so that was my only time I ever met him. I was at a dear friend had a summer party a couple years ago. And I went to the party, and Chris Romer was there. And he started to talk about the videos. And he said, there's video. And I thought, I knew that. And that's when I made a call to some unnamed source that said, oh, yeah, we had a camera up there. And so they had and then they had the, you know, the lineup of who's who that were, you know, buying the young women. And so when I look at this Trump thing about what he was doing with, I mean, I believe Karen McDougal, I believe Stormy Daniels, but that's Trump. So, you know, when you see something like Denver, and according to Scotty Ewing, that he operated Players in Sugar, there were professional athletes, there were, there was everybody, you know, that came and went to the locations.
Well, right by Players in Sugar on 17th in New York is a law firm called Silver and Dubosky, who we used, and they overlooked that facility where Players in Sugar was, and people would drop off in the alley there, because in New York, you can't drop off. It's real fast, and there's no stopping. Well, that building, and of course, that place is shut down, but I think that's what they did the surveillance from. Because it my line of work, because I knew a little bit about it, but that was more of a Denver thing that they were dealing with. And they didn't want to do anything with it, because obviously there's high-profile people involved. What a fascinating story. And, of course, now, did you end up changing? Is that the reason why you ended up changing stations? Was that
story? No, I got fired. I got fired. Cards on the table. I had Scotty finally would agreed, and I'd been to his house, and, you know, that's a bizarre story how I got there, but he agreed to do the radio show because, you know, when I met him, I was taken to his house by a woman that he said, pull over, she'll get in the car and she'll tell you where I am. And so I went out to this place, and it was very nice, and he was wearing what we always called the Irish Rolex. He's got the ankle bracelet on. And I sat on the couch with him, and he was in a big chair. And I don't know, I'm 3 hours. And he said, you know, I don't know if we bonded. He had been a competitive skier, and he was a tough kid. And so finally, there was charges, what we used to say, up the wazoo. He got off air just everything. Like, you know, I ain't going to screw with him. He's not going on the stand. And
that's right.
And so he agreed to do the radio show with me before he left town. True story. And I billboarded it all week. I mean, he was the biggest get in Denver. And then the night before the show, the phone started ringing from management that said, you can't have him on the air. I said, what do you mean I can't have him on the air?
Wow.
I said, well, he was the, and I think that, and I eventually it, when I screwed up, you know, I grabbed a guy, but I think that.
That's all right. Probably deserved it. The best thing that ever happened to you and all of us is you changed, get away from that station and go to a place where you can speak your piece.
Well, I mean, there were certain people and it was okay, but what had happened was, you know, I'd stepped on some big toes.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let me read this to you. I don't get it, but I'll read it to you. You didn't expose Hancock for the S word. Your so-called witness, the pimp, never showed up to give you any proof of Hancock's participating. Yeah, they did. We had the call sheet, and we called it live on the air. And it was
You called Michael's number, and he picked up the phone.
Yeah. And the guy continues, oh, yeah. We haven't forgotten your role in furthering that racist birther. No, listen, it wasn't Obama's life story is crooked. I mean, it's
well. For those people that don't remember, you called Michael Hancock's cell.
Oh yeah, live on
the phone.
Yeah.
His voicemail picked up the phone.
Yeah, he said, "This is Michael." We knew at that point it was him, and that and I got to take a pause. But that led to everything that happened, and I know that they squelched things at 9, the Denver Post.
Yeah.
I mean, that was like, no, we did more than expose him for S. And it didn't matter. At bottom line, it didn't matter. Like, maybe with Trump, it isn't going to matter.
I don't think it is, because people are feeling the real pinch right now. You know, I'm not going to go out and buy that $16 ribeye that used to be $8, and I'm not going to go out and buy that truck that's $75,000 now.
Yep.
All that craziness or even a little bit of turkey that at the deli that's what, $14 a pound.
Oh, listen.
And go try to buy eggs today. You know, they're trying to kill 2 million birds. Come on. This is ridiculous.
Thank you. 303-696-1971. Of course we did with that story. We did great with it, and then the story got spiked. 710 KNUS on a Thursday morning. I can read you a bunch more of the wall, but it's your turn. What would happen if it goes down? 303-696-1971. I'm Peter Boyle sitting in for the boys. They're back tomorrow morning, and then they go to Pueblo on Saturday morning. It's Thursday, April 4, 2024. Read the weather. 73 the high today. Wow. And 74 tomorrow. Oldest man in America going on spring break, and I'll be back in a week. So what happens if Donald Trump opens, again, in all of this hypothetical, ends up in prison? So let me take the call, and then we'll go to the wall. Let's go. This is Nick. Hey, Nick, welcome and thank you very much and good morning.
Thank you. I think that if he if that scenario plays out and he goes to prison before the election and he's elected, I think the Supreme Court will do the right thing and either release him or give him immunity or something, because I think enough people, even people who don't really particularly like Trump, they don't like his abrasive personality and all the rest, they're going to hopefully smell a rat and realize that all this that's going on is just a setup to get rid of him. The Democrats never went after him in 21, 22, 23. They did this all during an election year. And again, I'm not a big fan of Trump. I voted for him, but again, I'm not a big fan of him. But what's going on is a travesty of justice.
Well, first of all, remember the rule that there are no rules when it comes to politics.
Yes, and, that's true.
You know, and if what you say is true, is true. In the meantime, you know, even if you lay in the weeds, and with coming up November, and there's something that's called the October surprise.
Right.
Played by both sides, and they wait until about the 20th of October. Then they bombshell something. And the other guy doesn't have time, whether it's true or false, and many times it is true, but they don't have time to retaliate, don't have time to, you know, make an ad up and put it on television and buy it and everything. So if this was planned out, would I be surprised? No. Not at all. But it's all, you know, all's fair. And we know stuff the Republicans did. We know stuff the Democrats did. So that part of me, Nick, I don't really see it. But the answer, I mean, the question is, what happens if it does happen?
Well, again, that's the $64,000 question. No. Nobody knows the answer to that until you cross that bridge. But as far as shady things that go on, the Democrats run circles around the Republicans. The Republicans always seem to be reacting and not acting.
Well, the Republican Party is at war with itself. And I've talked about this, I think, many times. The Democratic Party or the Democrats, they've become almost a Trotskyist organization. And there's something called the Socialist Workers Party. And it's a Trotskyist. It's not a Lenin or Bolshevik movement. It's a Trotskyist movement, as you know. Stalin has Trotsky murdered. So, but these guys are Trotskyites. And
yes, they are.
As a little geek reader, they're not, you know, communism breaks up into all these different Maoists and everything, but these guys are more Trotskyist. And they clearly have a target, and they clearly have an end game. And I don't think Republican Party has either one.
No, and that's what worries me. Again, the Democrats have been successful in convincing a lot of people that their ideas are better simply because the Republicans haven't shown up. Democrats approach this as a military campaign. The Republicans don't know what they're doing half the time.
I agree. and they spend most of their time strangling each other or stabbing. And that's on a national level. It's certainly the theme of Colorado. But if you go up now and watch what happens, they have a speaker. They got the speaker. And they're doing everything they can to stab him in the back. He's not being jerked around by Democrats. He's being jerked around by whom? Republicans.
Exactly.
And if you think that the Democrats would have risen up against Tip O'Neill or Nancy Pelosi, not a chance.
No, they wouldn't have. And that's why, if there's any hope for the Republican Party, we need a whole new crew in there. And that's only going to happen if small donors, the $5, $10 crowd, because they don't have any more money to invest, start electing some Republicans who know how to fight, who don't shy away from getting in the trenches and duking it out.
But when is the last time that you saw that?
I saw it under Reagan, and Reagan was smart enough to be very intelligent about it. But that was the last time.
I would agree with you. But how long ago was that?
30-plus years.
Yeah, sure. I mean, here's a better question. Would Ronald Reagan fit into the Republican Party today?
Probably not.
Yeah. Would Jack Kennedy fit into the Democrats?
Absolutely not.
I agree again.
There's an absolute there.
No, I totally agree with you. So,
I mean, the likes of Harry Truman and Franklin Delano Roosevelt, they would have been thrown out of the Republican Party.
Oh, been run out of town. And so go ahead.
This is what really worries me. The major issue confronting this country that tops all the other is our national debt. If you look at history and you're a student of history, what has brought down more countries more often is an out-of-control financial situation.
The term that economists use is called fiat currency. And I tell everybody, one of the all-time great sleeper books is the book that's entitled The Creature from Jekyll Island, about creating the reserve and bringing in the...
Yes.
It was all Woodrow Wilson stuff. And, of course, Woodrow's he's a Democrat. So,
yes, he is.
All right. That's really well said. Great call, man.
One thing I like to hear about Woodrow Wilson, 1916, his slogan was, he kept us out of the war.
That's right.
9 months later, we're in the war.
It's absolutely true. He kept us out of the war, but he voted for him, and then he was looking for an excuse, and they got him one. It's Lusitania.
And, exactly.
And it's off to see the wizard. And he also segregated Washington, D.C.,
Yes, he did.
Put children back in the factories after the labor thing.
Yes, he did.
And his wife ran the country. So,
yes, he did.
Truly,
you can't make this stuff up.
No, you can't. And he, he lived, and they had a house, and they lived in D.C. Wow, you take care. Well done,
take care.
Thank you so much, everybody. 303-696-1971. There's so many wall of hate, right? We got 3 minutes to go. Peter, what do you think the biggest story was in your career that you were part of? Players in Sugar? JonBenet Ramsey's killer? What are you most proud of? I've helped people get sober. And when I admitted that I was alcoholic and an addict, and against the advice of a lot of people, and so many people, that's where I met Cote and helping out at STEP. But I think most proud when I meet people or somebody sends me a letter about gaining sobriety. And that's the one thing that I believe I could, because, the rest of them are the radio shows, and they're ups and downs, and there's ins and outs, and you get fired and you get hired and all that kind of stuff. But to have somebody come up to you and say, I went in a program, if you can do it, I knew I could do it, that kind of stuff, which I thought was legit. So tomorrow, Billy and Jeff are back, and they got a big announcement tomorrow. That's good stuff. And they'll be working Saturday from the convention in Pueblo. Billy anchors in Denver, and Jeff goes down, and he's in Pueblo and walking around. So I get to go on spring break, and I haven't seen my brother since before COVID. So we'll get on and hang with my brother. Kelly Michaels, thank you. Thanks, everybody. It was a really good show, and people think things through. The level of smart stuff is always good. And there's been some, I never got to a lot of the things I wanted to read on the air, but hey, so be it. We got a minute to go, and like I said, the guys back tomorrow, and I like what Jeff said about the door is always open. You have to play that game. The door is always open. A lot of people won't walk through it, but if you're going to do this job and do it well, that's one of the things you have to do. The door is open, and come on in and sit down, or let's talk about it. So lots of times when people send you a nasty text, and read it on the air, but, man, come in. Call the guy up, you know. Stand tall. Thursday morning, 73, the high, 74 tomorrow, and the bottom drops out on Saturday, and it's 56, and then Sunday, 55. So I won't miss any motorcycle riding. That's cool. Thank you all. Thank you, Kelly Michaels, so much. And I'll see you all a week from Saturday. And thank you, guys. Thanks for listening.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.